Wisconsin Supreme Court is now in session. The Honorable Chief Justice Jill Karofsky presiding. Your silence is commanded.
Good morning, everybody. Have a seat.
It's brisk.
It's a second.
We are here today for a Supreme Court rules hearing. The bill number is 2406. It's in the matter of amendment of Supreme Court Rule 2106 and related rules regarding the lawyer regulation systems district committees. It's my understanding that William Jones will present for 20 minutes, followed by Dean Dietrich and Timothy Samuelson. 5 minutes each. Oh, thank you. And before we start, it's my understanding Justice Rebecca Bradley is on the phone. Justice Bradley, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
And if you have any questions, you can pipe in, or I have my phone up here, and if you text me, I'm happy to make sure you get a chance to answer your questions.
Thank you.
After Attorney Dietrich and Attorney Samuelson, should anyone else care to speak, I'll ask at that time and give you an opportunity to do so. We'll begin with Mr. Jones, please.
May it please the court. My name is William Jones. I am an attorney from Madison and a volunteer member of the 12-person Board of Administrative Oversight, also referred to as the BAO or the board. My role in this proceeding is to provide background on the procedure that was followed by the BAO leading up to the proposed changes to Supreme Court Rule 21.06 and related rules referencing district committees. In 2024, the board convened a three-person subcommittee to review the role district committees were playing, if at all, in the investigation of complaints submitted to the Office of Lawyer Regulation. In short, our review revealed that the district committees have gone unused for many, many years. They just aren't a resource that appears to have been used in any use. The subcommittee brought this information to the Board of Administrative Oversight, and after discussion, the board agreed during two separate quarterly meetings that the rule should be amended to eliminate the district committees as part of the lawyer regulation system. Our discussion focused primarily on assessing what assistance, if any, the district committee could provide as it relates to local practice methods. We wondered if it is possible that what may be reasonable or acceptable practice behavior in one area of the state might be what is considered unreasonable behavior in another. The board is well positioned to discuss this as we have members from all different city sizes and locations as far north as Wausau and west in New Richmond and La Crosse, northeast in Oshkosh and Marinette, and south central and eastern representatives from Madison and Milwaukee. We could come up with very few examples of local practice that would fit this scenario, other than perhaps when a reasonable hourly rate might be in question. We discovered that the Office of Lawyer Regulation and a respondent attorney would still be able to rely on local experts to explain reasonable fees if that local practice ended up being a major point in a disciplinary hearing. Therefore, a district committee, if it is removed from the process, will likely not be missed. We believe that the existence of a rule that describes district committees as part of the lawyer regulation system is misleading and confusing because they have not been a part of the system in any real sense for a long time and do not appear to have any potential for usefulness in the future. That is all I have to present today.
Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Dietrich?
Good morning, Chief Justice. Morning, members of the court. My name is Dean Dietrich. I am an attorney in Wausau, and I currently serve as chair of the Committee on Professional Ethics of the State Bar, and I'm a past president of the State Bar. I speak here today on behalf of the State Bar, and with me today is Executive Director Jill Rothstein, and Director Lisa Royce. I have come to speak about the petition to eliminate the district committees. The State Bar Board of Governors does not oppose this petition. I come here today because several years ago, probably I think about seven, this same petition was filed and the State Bar opposed the petition. And at that time, the court decided to keep district committees as part of the regulatory process. The bar does not oppose this petition because the information that's been provided to the court shows that the district committees have not been used. And in fact, in many instances, they have not had committee members appointed to the committee. So it is hard for us to suggest that there is a need for a continuation of the district committees.
Do we know why they're not being used?
I do not, Justice Protasiewicz. I know that there haven't been appointments. And for a number of years in different communities, there weren't people volunteering to do this, and they haven't been assigned to anybody. The Board of Governors of the State Bar believes in the importance of local input in these proceedings and lawyer disciplinary proceedings. The presentation made a moment ago suggested that you can use expert testimony to prove up local conditions, local practices, things like that. And that certainly is true. The design of the local committees was to have local practitioners and members of the public involved in the proceedings to give that local flavor. We realize that that can be done through testimony. We also recognize that the professionalism of the Office of Lawyer Regulation and the staff of the Office of Lawyer Regulation has significantly improved the investigatory process. And so I think that's of import in the considerations. So as I said, the State Bar does not oppose this petition while we did so in the past. I'm here to answer any questions the court may have in light of that kind of change in decision-making.
So you based your change in position on the data in terms of what's been happening with these appointments?
That's correct, Justice Dallet, but I think to be more candid about it, the data just simply shows it hadn't been used. I mean, there isn't really much data to rely on.
Right, but the last time, I guess maybe it had been used a little bit still. I was here when you came the last time and when we denied the petition to eliminate the committees. But I remember the State Bar really speaking out to how important these positions were.
I think the data at that time at least identified participation by local attorneys and local residents in the appointment process. I'm not sure that there were that many actual proceedings or investigations referred to the district committee, but I do think there has been a ramping up of the staffing in the Office of Lawyer Regulation that's helped.
Right, I mean, they've essentially been dormant, not used, at least for 6 years, not a single referral from OLR to them, and OLR has sufficient resources to deal with the issues in their office, and they can get local input if they need it. So it's kind of silly to appoint people to positions where they're never, ever going to do anything. And I think that's why the rule is here.
That is correct in general, Justice Ziegler. I don't agree with the conclusion that the Office of Lawyer Regulation can get local input from other practitioners. Practitioners in a local community have an obligation to work with the Office of Lawyer Regulation but they're going to be very reluctant to give any type of information if an investigator calls them about another attorney. I don't think that happens.
Okay, fair enough. That's something that had been sort of suggested to us, so that's good to know if that's not the case.
Any other questions?
Thank you,
Attorney Dietrich. Director Samuelson?
Chief Justice, Justices, may it please the court. I'm Tim Samuelson, Director of the Office of Lawyer Regulation.
Mr. Samuelson, will you pull that microphone a little closer?
Maybe.
Usually I'm too loud. Am I too quiet?
You're not too loud. You might have to raise the podium as well. I have to do that too.
How are we doing now? Is this better?
Yeah, thank you.
I'm here today to ask the court to formally dissolve district committees, which have been non-functional for at least 7 years, and as of today, don't have a single active member. The Board of Administrative Oversight voted unanimously twice to file this petition. The State Bar Board of Governors voted unanimously not to oppose it. I'm unaware of any single opposition from any source. I'm here today in support of the rule petition and ask that the court grant it. I have two brief points that I'll make, and of course, I'd be happy to answer any questions the court may have. First, the primary reason that I support this petition is not because of the weaknesses of the court's volunteer appointees to district committees, but because of the strengths of OLR's professional staff. They investigate consistently, objectively, and fairly. That was the point that I was trying to make in my comment letter, the May 19 letter that I filed in support of this petition. I want to make clear that I don't question the dedication or the service of the court's volunteer appointees to district committees, but OLR staff are paid professionals, full stop. Their professionalism manifests itself in at least two ways. First, they have the training and skills to apply the rules of professional conduct objectively and consistently. This is what they do. And secondly, they're experts in the procedures for the lawyer regulation system. That's chapter 22. Our staff know the procedures inside and out and how to use the tools available to them to optimally investigate allegations of misconduct and medical incapacity. This is why I support the board's petition. Secondly, district committees just aren't necessary because other groups are performing all of the tasks assigned to them. In chapter 21, 2106 sub 3, there are six tasks that are assigned to district committees. They've been defunct for 7 years. So does that suggest these six things haven't been getting done? Of course not. What are those six things? They're referring allegations to OLR, conducting education, assisting OLR investigations, recommending dispositions, monitoring diversions, and resolving disputes. Now, the district committees primarily did one thing, and that was assisting OLR investigations. They also occasionally made disposition recommendations, but let's talk about some of these other tasks. Education. As the court knows, OLR has a robust education and outreach program. The State Bar is also a leader in education and publications. There are 55 local bar associations and 33 specialty bar and affinity groups. Other groups are filling the task to educate the public in the bar. Secondly, referring allegations to OLR. OLR has not received an allegation from a district committee member in at least 7 years, probably much longer. Who makes these referrals? Well, the rule covers that. 2201 says, quote, any person. Anyone can make a grievance, can present an allegation of professional misconduct to OLR. What does our data show? We're up 55% since the day that I started. OLR is more accessible than ever, and it suggests to me there's not a need to have district committees to make these types of referrals. What's another thing that district committees were tasked with doing? Resolving disputes between lawyers and clients. Well, that's a duty that OLR has under 2202 sub B, but there are also other groups that are doing this, whether it's the State Bar's fee arbitration program or the Client Protection Fund or local bar associations like the Milwaukee County Bar Association that has its own fee arbitration program. So if there were ever a gap left in the 7 years without district committees being convened, functioning, or really doing anything, that gap has long since been filled by other groups. And the other groups aren't just doing it, they're doing it well. There's just no need for district committees to handle any of these tasks right now. So the bottom line is all our staff do their jobs. They do that timely, consistently, and well. Other groups handle the other tasks that were assigned to district committees. And these are the reasons why I'd ask the court to grant the petition. I'd be happy to answer any questions the court may have regarding district committees, the process, the procedure, or anything else.
I have a couple of questions, Director. One is, how are the committee members supposed to be appointed? Is that OLR, or is it the board, or who has that responsibility?
The court itself. As I understand it, through the court's appointment committee.
Oh, it's the court's appointment committee. Okay. And did I hear you correctly that currently there are no appointed members of any of these committees?
That's my understanding.
That makes it difficult for OLR to refer any matters to them.
Right. As a practical matter, we reached out to the Director of State Court's office to make sure we had a current number of appointees, and we were told last week on the 3rd that there are no current appointees.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I had.
I don't see any other questions. Thank you, Director.
Thank you.
Mr. Jones, I actually do have one question for you. And this is just a housekeeping matter.
I know I ended pretty abruptly. I had 20 minutes and I probably talking for two. So
it's okay. I just want to.
And I'm not as tall as Mr. Sanders.
A few of us are quiet. Just
there we go. Got it. Okay. I can see you now.
Okay. I think that just looking at the Supreme Court rules and making a change like this, I just want to make sure that someone has checked each of the repealed and renumbered provisions to ensure that there aren't any stray cross references to the provisions in the remaining SCRs. Do you know if somebody did that?
I have not personally, but the appendix was prepared with the help from the Office of Lawyer Regulation. I'm quite certain that it's accurate. All the other things that they've provided have been very well done. So,
okay.
Yeah, I don't have any concern about that.
Okay.
All right.
Wanted to double check. Any other questions? Okay.
Thank you. Yeah. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you, everybody. The court is going to meet in closed conference, and then we will come out here in a little bit after the room is set up to meet in open conference. And right now we will stand adjourned. Justice Bradley, if you don't have the number to the conference room, will you please text me?
Yes, thank you.